if New York is going to hit its future greenhouse gas reduction goals, we're going to have to start ramping up our use of renewable energy sources and investments in green technology. And to that end, Governor Kathy Hochul teased out a plan in her State of the State address to spend up to $500 million on offshore wind infrastructure. To understand the scope and meaning of this potential investment, as well as other green energy plans from the governor, we're checking in with Anne Reynolds, Executive Director of the Alliance for Clean Energy New York and a member of the state's Climate Action Council. Thanks for joining us again, Anne.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So the state book from the governor, which gives a few more details than the actual speech, says New York will invest up to $500 million in the ports, manufacturing, and supply chain needs of the state in order to advance our offshore wind dreams. How big of an investment is this for an industry where we're often talking about dollar amounts with a B and not just a half a B?
Yeah, it's not a lot when you're thinking of all of the investment to build these major projects, but it is a lot for the purposes that they're saying they're going to use it for, which is upgrading our ports and helping to build some supply chain companies. So what they do in the competitions for contracts is the state encourages these companies to develop the supply chain in New York and use ports in New York. And the more they do that, the more points they get in the contract competition. So last time around, for example, they contributed $200 million, and that funding was matched many times over and helped lead to these announcements we've heard for the Port of Albany, the South Brooklyn Marine Terminal, and the Port of Queens, that there's going to be offshore wind activities happening in all three of those places. So we're hoping that this new $500 million will do the same. It will help ports get ready for these activities, whether it's staging or helping with secondary steel or foundations, and it will be matched by private funds that then use those ports for staging areas to build these big projects.
Without the state investing in the infrastructure that we're talking about here, would there be no incentive or desire for private companies to take on these tasks, or would it just all be at a much smaller scale?
The big incentive for the development companies is these long-term contracts they get with the state. So that's the foundation of the offshore wind industry growing in New York. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the ports they would use would be in New York or the supply chain would be in New York. Maybe it could be New Jersey or Connecticut. So this money is meant to stimulate places in New York getting ready and being able to partner with the companies so that it's not just the power being sold into New York, but it's the people getting the jobs and the supply chain and the ports also being in New York.
So this plan involves spending money to attract businesses to do their business in New York, but could we avoid spending money by just simply making New York less expensive to, say, do all this work? Would that have the same benefit and not have the same upfront costs?
Well, I'm not sure what changes would help the most for offshore wind, because the places we're competing with are nearby, right? It's New Bedford, Massachusetts, it's places in Rhode Island, it's New Jersey ports. So those states probably have equal costs for labor and other costs of doing business, but they're all offering incentives for these offshore wind companies to develop facilities in their states. So we want to be part of that action. You know, we want New York to be a center of gravity for the offshore wind industry. And this $500 million that the governor announced is part of that strategy to make sure that the supply chain is here and not in New Jersey.
Do you have unanswered questions at this point about the governor's potential investment? For example, do you have any idea like what time frame we're talking about with regards to committing this money?
Yeah, we know it's $500 million for supply chain and ports, but we don't know more information than that yet. Once NYSERDA issues a next RFP for offshore wind, we might learn more then. Or they might have a separate program just to spend these funds. We don't know how much of it will be for supply chain versus port development. So I think there's a lot of details that still need to be worked out.
Well, that reference to the next round of new offshore wind projects is a great pivot to our next topic, which is the governor announcing during her speech that the state will get the ball rolling on developing a new offshore wind project to generate at least 2 gigawatts of energy. For starters, is this a surprise announcement from the governor or just a formal commitment of what people in this space, like yourself, were expecting for 2022?
Yeah, it's not a surprise, but it's very welcome. It shows that the state is remaining committed. They couldn't or didn't want to do the next solicitation until there were new lease areas off the shore of New York. And just yesterday, the federal government announced the lease sale, which will be happening in late February. There'll be up to 6 new leases. So that means 6 companies will lease underwater land from the federal government and then can compete for a contract with New York to build an offshore wind project. So it was great to hear the governor commit that once that lease auction was done, New York would do a next solicitation. And it was even better to hear yesterday that that lease auction has been scheduled.
For listeners just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking about efforts in the governor's recent State of the State address to promote renewable energy sources, specifically offshore wind. And our guest is Ann Reynolds, Executive Director of the Alliance for Clean Energy New York. So this next solicitation of offshore wind projects is intended to generate at least 2 gigawatts of power. How does that stack up in the current landscape of projects that we've got moving through the pipeline?
Yeah, there's 5 offshore wind projects that have contracts in New York now, and they add up to about, I think it's 4,600 megawatts. So if the next one's going to be 2, that's really doubling down on the next solicitation. We're aiming for 9. The law requires 9 gigawatts of offshore wind. And so if we get another 2 under contract, we're really well on our way to getting that all under contract. But we have to then get to getting that all under construction.
And that 9-gigawatt goal, what's the timeline for that? Is that the 2035 dateline?
Yep, 2035.
And how are you feeling about our trajectory as we look 13 years in the future?
Well, I have no complaints about the trajectory. You know, the state promised they would enter into these long-term contracts, and they've kept that promise. But, you know, I'm not naive enough to think that there can't be problems along the way in actually getting these projects to construction. So these projects need a contract, and then they need an interconnection. They need permits from the federal government. They need to find a way to interconnect into Long Island and New York City, which is no small task given how dense New York City especially is with infrastructure. So there's a lot of challenges remaining. So I can't say, I'm confident it's all going to happen. But I can't emphasize how much the state has really committed to and continues to pay attention to all the possible barriers and try to tackle them before they become problems.
Well, Ann, you've done it again, teased out our next pivot, which is how do we get all this offshore wind to the people who need it, specifically the millions of people in New York City? And to that end, the governor indicated state agencies will conduct a cable corridor study. And to me, that sounds like a transmission thing. Maybe I'm completely wrong, though. What is she talking about with regards to a cable corridor study?
It's an analysis of where all these projects can interconnect. And obviously, they need to be able to interconnect to the grid at a location that has the capacity to accept the electricity. But there's also physical constraints of other infrastructure that might, other cables of other types that might be underwater or underground or in the subways. And so they need to find out what those constraints would be and make sure that all the projects can connect in a timely manner. Because if we have a great wind farm offshore, but it can't get that power to land, we haven't accomplished anything. So they want to make sure that it doesn't become a cable traffic jam that can't be solved when the projects are ready to be up and running.
And looking at the governor's focus on promoting renewable energy more broadly, was there anything else in this speech that stood out to you, whether it was new or represented an increased commitment in areas that we've already been heading?
Well, there's a lot of good news in there about efficiency and building electrification. That's necessary. We were also looking for some announcements on transportation because we also have member companies that do electric transportation and electric vehicle charging. Great news about electric school buses. That was just a total win that she's proposing some legislation to encourage school districts to adopt electric school buses. We were hoping to have some legislation allowing for the direct sale of electric vehicles from companies that only make EVs. So right now, a company like Tesla or Rivian can't open stores in New York. And I really think there's a lot of New Yorkers who would like to be able to go to the store and test drive a Tesla or a Rivian or a Lucid car. They might buy that. They might go to a traditional dealer and buy a Nissan Leaf or another electric vehicle. But we really feel that New Yorkers should have access to that. And we were hoping that that was going to be included in the governor's speech. And unfortunately, it was not.
The governor's speech came less than a week after the State Climate Action Council released its draft plan for dramatically reducing greenhouse gas emissions, a plan that will require legislative and executive action to achieve. How does the governor's environmental and energy proposals square up with what's been proposed by the Climate Action Council? Is she ahead of what the Climate Action Council is proposing? Is she right in lockstep, or is she behind in certain areas?
So we've talked before about the building electrification. You know, we need to electrify all the buildings in New York. It sounds simple. It's very complicated. But the Climate Action Plan calls for new legislation for building codes and appliance efficiency standards. And it's really a cornerstone of the whole effort to electrify buildings is that bill. And that was in the governor's speech. Electric school buses is another example where, you know, there's a whole bunch of recommendations about how to electrify transportation. And the governor picked some of those and put them in the speech and hopefully will appear in the budget as well. The funding for offshore wind recognizes that we really just can't get to 70% renewables by 2030 without offshore wind. There's a lot more in the plan than was in the speech, if that makes sense. It's a comprehensive plan between now and 2050. But it would have been a lost opportunity if the governor hadn't taken some things from the plan and propose them for this year so we could get rolling. But she did, and I think that's great news.
Would you have liked to see something in either the speech or the booklet that addresses putting a cost on carbon as a way to fund this green transition we're hoping to accomplish?
I would. You know, we support carbon pricing, and I think having a dedicated funding source for all these good things we want to do is going to prove to be mandatory, really. We're going to have to get there. The climate plan wasn't real specific. It didn't make clear recommendations about carbon pricing, so I wasn't surprised that it wasn't in the governor's speech yet, because I think there's more assessment of the options that's going to happen on that one. But eventually, yes, we're really going to have to have a price on carbon so that we can incentivize folks to move away from fossil fuels, but also have a revenue stream to pay for all the transition activities we need to do.
Well, we've been speaking with Anne Reynolds. She's the executive director of the Alliance for Clean Energy New York. Anne, thank you for joining us today, and I look forward to talking with you much, much more this year.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.